And if you want to turn to John 6, I'm going to make a dogmatic statement here. How you look at one word in John chapter 6, verse 44, is going to tell me whether or not your view on salvation is God-centered or man-centered. One word in that verse. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. What's the word? The word is draws. That word in the original is in the Greek, in the New Testament, six times, in that form. It gets translated elsewhere, interestingly enough, apart from John 12:32, which we'll get to in a second. It's translated as drag, dragged, or hauled, H-A-U-L-E-D. In another form, it's when Peter drew his sword out of the sheath. Same word, just in another form. Now, I think we get the sense of those other uses in the New Testament that it is something which really causes a result. That you read Acts chapter 16, this word is used when it says Paul and Silas were dragged into the marketplace. Does that mean that they said to them, Paul and Silas, you guys go over there. We'll wait for you. I don't think that's quite the sense. I think the sense is they grabbed them by their clothes and they dragged them over there. Now, but how do we apply this to John 6:44? This is more metaphorical than those others, but there's a sense in which we can apply it somewhat equally. I am not saying, let me be clear on this, I am not saying that the Father drags people kicking and screaming into the kingdom against their will. But that's what people think we believe. It is. You talk to people, oh, you're of this particular theological ilk. Oh, you believe God drags people kicking and screaming. And God keeps people out who really want to come. We don't believe anything of that sort. I'll tell you what, whoever believes has eternal life. I believe that. We better believe that. And I don't believe, though, that God grabs somebody and their heels are dug in and all the way into the kingdom, they're not coming. They don't want to come. That's not the sense of John 6:44. Now, people may have their heels dug in to a point, but eventually they stop those who are being drawn, stop digging their heels in. And they stop digging their heels in, and they walk willingly into the kingdom. That's what we're talking about here in John 6:44. The drawing of John 6:44, no one can come unless the Father who sent me draws him. What does that drawing look like? It is a drawing which actually has people come. But how does it get people to actually come? I'm going to borrow Craig's word here. I'm going to borrow Craig's word, chooser. Okay? What happens with the drawing of John 6:44 is that the Father changes people's chooser. What they choose and what they want to choose, their desires behind their choice, which is expressed in their chooser, is changed. That's the drawing here. So God changes a person's chooser so that before, when they chose to spit in the face of God, they now choose to do what God says. And they choose to do what God says in the sense of salvation here, repent and believe, willingly, and yes, I'm going to say freely. And they choose it because their chooser has been changed, and because their chooser has been changed, they come to Jesus Christ, not only because they can come, but they have to come. They can't choose anything else but to come. They're compelled to come. They want to come. They can't do anything else but come. That's the drawing of John 6:44. Now, I'll tell you what the drawing of 644 is not. It is not God the Father sitting in the celestial bleachers like at a basketball game. And you've got Alex and Nishay in the bleachers, okay? Naaman's at the free throw line. He's getting ready for the free throw, okay? They've tried to equip him rightly. They really want Naaman to make the free throw, but what can they actually do to cause Naaman to make the free throw at that point? They can't do anything. They're hands off at that point. They can't go shoot the free throw for him. They have to sit there and watch. They have to sit there and wait. That's not what the drawing of John 6:44 is, but that is what our doctrinal opponents believe about John 6:44. They believe that God is just sitting back in the heavens. He's done everything he can as the Father who loves the world in order to save people, but he cannot do anything more to save people. Now he's just waiting for people to come, and to them, the drawing of John 6:44 is Alex and Nishay sitting in the bleachers hoping that Naaman makes the free throw, but they can't do anything to cause him to make the free throw. That's not the sense here. Why do people believe that? People believe that because they want to preserve their doctrine of the almighty free will of man. The almighty sovereign free will of man. They believe, practically, because this is what they believe. Honest. Most of my friends up north are of this theological bent. They believe that God the Father has done everything he can to save sinners, but he can't do anything more. He's done. He is now sitting in the heavens, waiting for people to come, going. But that's what they believe. But he can't do anything to actually go get them, or to cause them to come, or to change their desires, because we have to preserve the almighty sovereign free will of man. Well, I'll tell you what, if that's the case, if God has done everything he can, but now it's up to man, and it's all up to man and man alone. Even if you want to say God the Father's done 99% of the work, it's now up to man to do the last 1%, what assurance do you have that anybody's going to do that 1%? There's no assurance, there's no biblical assurance that that's going to happen. The problem is that man's condition post-Genesis 3 is such that he can't do the 1%, or if you even want to say it's 1/10 of 1%, or 1/1000000 of 1% to accomplish salvation. He can't because he doesn't want to. Because man hates God. And he won't come of his own volition unless God sets him free. God draws him, changing his dead nature to a living nature, taking out a heart of stone, giving him a heart of flesh. What else, practically, if what my friends up north and our theological opponents think, if God can't do anything more to save a person because he must preserve almighty free will, why do they pray that God save somebody? That would mean God would have to intervene in their life and do something that maybe they didn't want to have done in their life. That's not the way the scripture describes these things. No, it's salvation is not up ultimately to man. Man has a responsibility, yes, to repent and believe, but he can only do that because God gives him the gift. God must move first. Not denying man's responsibility, but God must intervene in people's lives to do things. We pray for God to do that in people's lives, don't we? This family's going to Nepal. You're going to Nepal. You want God to intervene in the lives of those people who've never heard of Jesus until you walk up and tell them. They don't know Jesus. Don't we want God to intervene in the lives of the people that they're going to run into over there, even though they may not want God to intervene? Don't we pray that if you've got a lost spouse, right now God will intervene in that spouse's life and change that person? That they may have heard truth a million times, and they're fine with not obeying the truth. Don't you want that spouse to all of a sudden go, what must I do to be saved? Don't you want that to happen with the kids here? Don't you want that to happen where the kids are going to take their coloring books and drop them and go, what? Help! Don't you want that with the teenagers who are daydreaming for the next 3 hours here? They're here just out of obligation to their parents. Don't you want God the Father to draw them now to override their will and give them a new will? That's what we want in John 6:44. That's what John 6:44 is talking about. And yes, what we're talking about here is what we know as irresistible grace. Or maybe better, effectual grace. Now, did you know that John Piper of all people said that grace is resistible? He did. But that's only part of the sentence. There's more to it. Piper said this. Piper said grace is resistible until it isn't. Because people take their Bibles. What do? They take their Bibles. They peel it open to Acts chapter 7. They jab it, and it says right there, see, Stephen told the Jews that they always resist the Holy Spirit. And to that I say amen, because Stephen did say it. And you know what? One of the people who was resisting the Holy Spirit right there was a guy who in Acts chapter 8, verse 1 says, he was present as Stephen was being executed, and he approved of Stephen's execution. This guy in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, resisted the Holy Spirit. He's a persecutor of Christians. He breathed threats and murder against Christians. He resisted the Holy Spirit until Acts chapter 9, verse 3. Grace was resistible until the road to Damascus. Light flashes. This man falls to the ground and he is converted. He was not a seeker of Christ. He hated Christ. But God the Father loved him. God burst into that man's life without that man asking permission. You've heard me say it before. I've said it, but I'm going to say it again. Again, up north. And yes, I'm going to pick on women here. It was common amongst the female population up north to say, God is a perfect gentleman. He doesn't go anywhere he's not asked to. Really? Ask Paul about that. Paul praised the Lord God Almighty that he intervened in his life and didn't ask permission. God's going to go wherever he wants to in his creation, and he doesn't need our permission to go there. If God wants to break into your lost spouse's life today and save him, he will. If he wants to knock a teenager to the ground in here this morning and save that teenager, he will. If he wants to have that six-year-old's coloring book drop to the ground and the animal crackers fly all over the place, he will, and he won't ask mom or dad's permission. Those who have been given to the Son by the Father will be drawn by the Father. Every single one of them, without exception, with this grace, which will be ultimately irresistible, accomplishing salvation, giving men and women faith, giving them repentance. It's their faith once it's given to them. It's their repentance once they have it. And they come to Christ because they want to come to Christ and can't do anything else but come. Somebody's going to say, what about John 12:32? Jesus says, when I am lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. Once again, I say amen. That's true. Does he draw people to himself from every tribe and language and people and nation, from all the nations? Yes, he does. That's why these people are going overseas, because he does draw them. Amen to John 12:32. Our God, God the Father, he goes and gets his people. He's not sitting in the celestial bleachers passively. He goes and intervenes in time and space and gets his people. He came and got me. He came and got you. And we want him to go get people today. He brought us out. We didn't do it on it. He gave us the desire. He gave us the faith. He brought us out of the miry clay. He set our feet on the rock to stay. And he's going to go get every single one of those people he has given to his son, and praise God for that.